Matthew Mott has been such a driving force behind Australia's women's success in cricket. They've been heralded across all forms. His reward is now to be picked up as coach in England of the white ball setup. So he's lost to the Australian program. Ben Horne's the chief cricket writer at News Corp. Ben, great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Jared.
So it's Australia's loss for sure. England's gain. What an interesting set of circumstances in England. Baz McCullum for the Test team, and now Matthew Mott for their white ball setup.
It is, Jared. And look, I think the relationship between the two is obviously a key aspect of it. Apparently, Brendan McCullum recommended Matthew for a job as New Zealand coach a few years ago, and started. But they do have a close bond. As Andrew McDonald discussed when he took over the Australian role and taking on all three formats, there was concerns in Australian cricket about the dynamic between a white ball and red ball coach and what happens when you have to choose which players represent in each format. There's a bit of friction there. So the strong relationship between McCullum and Mott will help. But it's an excellent appointment, and it's a great reward for someone who has an outstanding record as a coach.
It has been outstanding, hasn't it? His time with the women's team, I mean, they have been all conquering, and there'd be a great measure of his worth in those results.
Absolutely. And, I think it's great recognition of the Australian women's team and women's cricket in general that, an outfit like England would treat those results with the respect that they deserve and the admiration they deserve. And, Australia's been time. Yes, they have some great players in that team, but, I think the way that Tim Mott has guided that team, he's got great communication skills. He's got a great manner and presence as coach. And, he's done exactly what was needed to get the best out of that team.
It's quite a role to fill within Australian cricket, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, I guess the attention turns to that. Who do you play? What the arrangements are, when this role is announced and that kind of thing. But there is a Commonwealth Games coming up quite soon, so it's something that Australia will have to address quickly, I imagine. And I imagine there'll be a lot of coaches queuing up for it because, you look at the caliber of player in that team. They're only getting better, even though their career, you'd have to say they're probably in their greatest run of form at the moment.
Behind the scenes at the moment, Ben, and you've been writing about this each week and multiple stories, is what to do with the BBL and its placement and who might be there and how the international fixture that was released last week impacts on that. What's your read at the moment as to how delicate this is, what sort of tension point it is?
Yeah, look, I think it's a make or break year for the Big Bash, and that's hard because some of the results that Cricket Australia are looking to get long term can't be achieved this summer. There's three white ball games against South Africa in January, and no matter what time you play those games, you're going to be missing those international players, obviously, for that period. The grand plan for Cricket Australia is from 2024 and beyond, is to blank out January in the international schedule so that after the Sydney Test finishes in early January, perhaps they could get the rest of January for the BBL, which would be a huge quick fix. I mean, it doesn't obviously solve every problem, and there'd still be things around that need to be navigated, but that would be an enormous breakthrough for the competition because instantly you would have access to the Australian Test team and those players like Glenn Maxwell, Aaron Finch, for the entire tournament without white ball cricket in that period. But the problem is that can't happen straight away. This cycle of the international schedule has to finish first. Time is when the negotiations for the new TV deal will have to begin. So that's the tricky thing. Cricket Australia has to somehow keep the faith with broadcasters and prospective broadcasters and make them believe that there is going to be a turning point for all this.
And in that conversation, you must have been writing about it for sort of 6 or 8 months now, that the potential for a return of Dave Warner to the BBL and into a leadership role, which would require a revisiting of the punishment that was handed down, which banned him from any leadership role within Australian cricket for eternity. Do you think there's progress being made on that front?
I think some progress, but I think there is a feeling at Cricket Australia that the conversation needs to be listened to. So I think there has been a change there. And look, personally, I think it's a deceptively key part of Cricket Australia's plan here to get playing, because you have a player like that who, aside from being one of the best T20 players in the world, you only have to look at his performances in the IPL. But he's a batsman who wouldn't have to rest January, as players like Pat Cummins and Mitchell Starc will still have to do, regardless of the international window that's created. And secondly, he's not far away from retirement. You know, he may only have one or two summers left in him, which means the opportunity to secure him for, you know, the next few years in the BBL is, you know, I think 5 years since Sandpaper Gate. And I think when you look at how the penalties were handed out and how where we are now, I think it would be very wise for Cricket Australia to revisit that.
Ben, always good to tap your thoughts. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us, Jared. Cheers.
Good on you. Ben Horne, the Chief Cricket Writer at News Corp.